Welcome to episode 311 of the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I'm Ashley Scott Myers, screenwriter and blogger over at sellingyourscreenplay.com. Today I'm interviewing Robert Conway, who just did a Western film called Eminence Hill. We talked through that film and how it all came together, as well as how he got his start in the business. So stay tuned for that interview. If you find this episode valuable, please help me out by giving me a review in iTunes or leaving a comment on YouTube or retweeting the podcast on Twitter or liking or sharing it on Facebook. These social media shares really do help spread word about the podcast, so they're very much appreciated. Any websites or links that I mention in the podcast can be found on my blog in the show notes. I also publish a transcript with every episode in case you'd rather read the show or look at something later on. You can find all the podcast show notes at www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/podcast, and then just look for episode number 311. If you want my free guide, How to Sell a Screenplay in 5 Weeks, you can pick that up by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. It's completely free. You just put in your email address, and I'll send you a new lesson once per week for 5 weeks, along with a bunch of bonus lessons. I teach the whole process of how to sell your screenplay in that guide. I'll teach you how to write a professional logline and query letter, and how to find agents, managers, and producers who are looking for material. Really is everything you need to know to sell your screenplay. Just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. So a quick few words about what I'm working on. Still catching up from the production of The Rideshare Killer, and a lot of just the catching up is just catching up on sleep. We were shooting 12 hours a day for 17 days. We only had 3 days off in those 17 days. So the whole period, just was really, really strenuous. I'm, as one of the producers and the writer, the director, I was always the first one there and the last one to leave. So it was quite a bit longer than the 12 hours for me. And just the first week was mostly night shoots. We had a lot of nights. It's a, sort of a horror murder mystery. So, a lot of night shooting. So the first day was like 8 to 8, but then after that it was like literally 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. because for those next 4 days. So the first week was grueling, just really tough to get sleep. So definitely not easy. If you've ever done production, I'm sure you can relate to just how physically grueling it is, but slowly catching up on sleep, and now I kind of feel revived and ready to go and really kind of energized. I think we had a lot of good energy on the project. Everyone really just seemed really motivated and seemed to really have a good time and sort of be behind it. So hopefully I can sort of draft off all that energy and get into the next steps. So still finishing up just a lot of little odds and ends, trying to set up the wrap party. I've got to get that done. I think we're going to do that in a couple weeks or in about a week. I've got to return the camera. We rented a nice camera package off of ShareGrid, which is a site where people list their camera and camera equipment, and then people can rent it out. It's kind of like eBay for camera rentals. There's definitely a sort of a social aspect where you can leave feedback for the people, and you can kind of, look at what sort of feedback you have. You create an account. You have to have insurance for all of this. So like that's the main component to allowing someone to rent your camera, obviously, is that they have insurance, legitimate insurance to cover in case it gets stolen, broken, or lost or something. But that actually was a pretty good experience. I had never used ShareGrid. A number of people had recommended over the years, but if you're looking at shooting something and you need camera equipment, and it's from soup to nuts. I mean, they have, low-end cameras all the way up to super high-end cameras, lenses, tripods, just everything that has to do with, cameras and camera equipment. You can pretty much find it on ShareGrid. I'm sure other areas of the country, obviously Los Angeles, probably New York, bigger cities probably going to have a lot more people participating. Again, it's very much like eBay in the sense it's like a marketplace where, people are listing the stuff. It's not, at least from what I found, it didn't seem to be like companies, big companies listing all of their equipment. It legitimately seemed like just small guys. The guy we rented our camera package from, he's just a guy that he's like a director. He does commercials, and actually talking to him too, he's also a writer and getting into writing scripts and that sort of stuff. But he's, a professional director of commercials and video. So he has all this camera equipment, and he's actually trying to sort of segue. It sounded like he's trying to segue into being more of a screenwriter than a directing commercials and that sort of stuff. So he has all this really nice high-end camera equipment. So he just lists it on ShareGrid, and he knows about the equipment and understands it. Again, nice lenses, nice tripod, the whole package. So far it's been a good experience. So anyways, if you're looking at renting camera equipment, definitely check out ShareGrid. It's a great place. But the big thing is now is organizing the Kickstarter. We've got to raise some more money for post-production. So that's kind of our main mission now here for the next month. So I've started to work on that as well. I've got to create the Kickstarter video first off. You know, I'm not supremely technical when it comes to like film editing and working with these very high resolution video files. So I've got to figure out how to create low res proxy files and then start dumping those clips. And then I can start to edit a little bit, just some little clips for the Kickstarter video. I think that's going to be a big part of it. It's showing people what we've actually shot and getting people energized and excited about that. We've got a lot of really great scenes. And, you know, when you're sitting there shooting them, you kind of edit them together in your head. But there's nothing like actually editing them, seeing them, adding sound effects and that sort of stuff. So I've got to at least get a couple of clips together here in the next couple of weeks so that we can put the Kickstarter video together. We've got to organize all the folks. Again, everybody really seemed very energized by the product, really into the project. So I think a lot of the actors and some of the other crew, they're going to really help with the Kickstarter video. So we've got to coordinate with them. When I did the Kickstarter video a couple of years ago, it was basically just me, you know, raising money. And I did it before I really even got the production going. So nobody was really involved in the production, or very few people were involved in the production. So it was basically just me. But this is a much more complex sort of operation, in the sense that a lot of the actors are happy to participate and in the Kickstarter. And so I just got to meet with them, talk with them, see kind of what they're willing to do and you know, coordinate all of that, come up with ideas to kind of help promote them as well. So again, that's just all part of this process of getting the Kickstarter together, but that's really what I'm trying to do. And then once we've done the Kickstarter, then we can really jump into post-production. Once we know kind of what we're going to have, from there, we'll just, we'll be able to get into post-production, start to hire all of the various positions, an editor, you know, that kind of stuff. Really, I think the editor is the first thing we'll bring on. We'll get a rough cut together and then kind of see where we're at. So anyways, that's where I'm at with the Rideshare Killer, just pushing that forward. And that's obviously the main thing that I'm working on here this week and probably for the foreseeable future. So now let's get into the main segment. Today, I'm interviewing writer-director Robert Conway. Here is the interview. Welcome, Robert, to the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So to start out, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up and how did you get interested in the entertainment business?
Well, I've kind of always been interested in film ever since I was a little kid. I've been doing it with my brothers and neighborhood friends and all that. So, I guess I went to film school, obviously. I made my first feature film about 13 years ago now, something like that. I've been doing it ever since.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arizona.
Okay, and then where did you go to film school?
Arizona. Scottsdale Community and then another trade school, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And so take us through, what are some of those steps? So you go to film school. I'm sure you did a bunch of films in film school, student films, helped your friends and this kind of thing. So then you're getting out of film school. Take us through that process of going from, you know, just out of film school to getting that first feature film. What was that transition like and how did you actually get that first film into production?
Well, I actually did the first feature kind of as a thesis project for film school. So that that was something I did with my classmates. And yeah, that was called Redemption. It was another Western called Redemption, A Mile in the Hell. It got distributed in like 2009, I believe. It was 2007. Okay. And so that was kind of my transition, was just that. I got out of film school and I'd already made one feature and then went on to make another one and kind of just been doing them ever since.
Okay. So the first question I would have, just in terms of living and being a filmmaker in Arizona, why not move to Los Angeles? Like, why do you like, or why do you prefer to live in Arizona versus making the trek to?
For an independent producer, there's not a heck of a lot of advantages to Los Angeles. You know, I mean, I do fly a lot of actors and people like that, but the cost of locations, the cost of everything is a lot cheaper in Arizona. So if you're independent, you stretch your money a lot further in a place that's a little bit more, you know, friendly to the low-budget filmmaker.
Yeah, I gotcha. And you don't think flying the actors out, and is there ever any crew people? Like, that doesn't eat up? Like, the advantages in money doesn't get overtaken by the fact that you have to fly a few of your cast out and potentially even maybe some of your crew?
Usually I don't have to fly any crew. We have a pretty great crew here in Arizona. Okay. I do fly my makeup team, but I fly them in from the other side of the country. So no, and a lot of the actors I could find locally as well. So no, not really.
Okay. Huh. So okay, so let's dig into your latest film, Eminence Hill, starring Barry Corbin and Dominic Swain. Maybe to start out, you can just give us a quick pitch or a log line. What is this film all about?
Well, it's a, you know, kind of a revenge. Not really. Yeah, I guess you could say a revenge too. But this young woman is kidnapped by a group of notorious outlaws, and she's taken. They're trying to sell her into slavery, and they get lost, end up in this town full of religious fanatics, and they're tracked down by a U.S. Marshal and an old Indian scout who are trying to find and rescue her. They all end up in this small town called Eminence Hill, which is run by, like I said, a bunch of Puritans. And so, yeah, it's kind of a clash of different worlds, clash of different ideologies, and a lot of things happen along the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why a Western? Like, why now, and why did you decide to do a Western? Where did that sort of come from?
Well, my student short was a Western. My first feature was a Western, and it was just a natural thing for me to want to do again after doing horror movies for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt myself gravitating back towards it. I really wanted to do it. I waited for the right script and, you know, right idea for a script, I should say, and that's kind of where it came from.
Okay. And so how much, now that you've made a bunch of feature films, you know, kind of got some of these relationships built, how much reaching out to, once you had that idea, how much reaching out to distributors, to producers do you do just to kind of vet the idea and say, hey, is there a market for this Western film if I were to go make it?
No, I believe there was a market because there wasn't a heck of a lot of other similar products being made. I mean, at least not comparatively to horror. As far as that goes, I just basically convinced my distributor, Uncorked Entertainment, who distributed a lot of my horror films. And they agreed, so we also did a crowdfund to help add to the budget, because it was a Western, it was a period film, so we needed more money.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What was, when we were able to get on the pre-sale there. But yeah, I mean, that wasn't really that difficult. I mean, that was probably, as compared to actually making a film of this size for that time and budget that we had, that was probably the
Yeah. So where did this idea come from? It's, you said that you were you wanted to do a Western and you were just trying to find that that great idea. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I mean, I started writing a very small little idea of just an outlaw confronting someone who had killed his a juryman who had killed his at that time in the script was his son, and the conversation that this man would have with the man who passed judgment on his son. And I used that as kind of the baseline for the film, and I kind of grew it out from there.
I see.
It kind of blossomed from a very simple idea.
Okay, so take us through your writing process a little bit. I noticed on IMDb it says special guest writer Owen Conway. Maybe you can kind of describe that. What does that actually mean, and what did that working relationship look like in terms of producing this screenplay?
Instrumental in a lot of my screenplays, particularly if I'm having issue difficulty somewhere. Owen. And this film really helped with the last scene of the film, trying to get the right beats to finish the film. That was really where he earned his writer's credit there. Just trying to find the right way to kind of summarize everything that we had just experienced, what we've just been through. And that way it was great. It's great process. Sometimes it's just, you know, maybe it's a little bit.
Yeah. And what's your relationship to, and what's your relationship to Owen?
He's my brother.
Okay, and so he's also an actor,
yeah.
So he then wanted to act in the, okay. And so what does that actually look like in terms of just working with him? Do you send him the script and then he gives you notes? Do you guys sit in the same room? Does he actually write scenes? What does that actually look like?
It's more the notes, but in some cases he actually writes scenes. Like the last scene that he wrote, the last scene of the film, the second to last scene, I guess, after the edit. And that was just something as he could take a shot at. He did, and he did a great job. So I adjusted a couple of things, but it's pretty much as you wrote it.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. So let's just run through your writing process a little bit. Where do you typically write? Are you someone who likes to write at a Starbucks in sort of an ambiance of people? Do you like to have a home office or something and work quietly at home?
It's really a bit of both. It just depends on the mood I am in. Sometimes it gets you claustrophobic and I will want to get out there. I'd like to get to a Starbucks. As long as I have earbuds on, I can block out the noise. You know, I write to music sometimes, but it's got to be the right type of music, usually classical instrumental music at a low volume. But yeah, sometimes, most of the time I probably write at home, but yeah, sometimes it just gets a little, you need to get that change of scenery to get the blood pumping again.
Yeah, yeah. When do you typically write? Are you a morning person, right in the middle of the night person?
For the most part, I think the best creativity I have is the middle of the night, and that's where it's kind of, there's less distraction from the world around you. There's less noise, mm-hmm. there's less, you know, phone ringing and all that stuff, so yeah, yeah, kind of a night owl when it comes to that.
Okay. When you're working on a screenplay like this one, how much time do you spend working on the outline versus actually in final draft writing out script pages?
I'm not a huge outline person. I mean, I have an outline in my head, but I don't go by the strict outline rule. I don't. I find it more I like to have an idea, a general idea of where I'm going, where I start, but then I let things kind of take on a life of their own. Like, once I establish my characters, I feel like their actions will become second nature to me, what they will do in any given scenario. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I use outlines only in the most rudimentary and basic form of the, but yeah, 99% of it's writing. And if it's not working, I'll go back and I'll write something else.
I see. How long did it take you to write this script? And I'm curious, too, how much time you spend with the first draft, and then how much time do you spend actually rewriting once you have that first draft?
So that's a big process. I mean, really, you know, you get the first draft. I don't know. This one, it took a while. This one was a few months, which is a long time for me. Usually I write a lot faster than that. The first draft is just completely changing all the time. You know, it's never like, even when you get on set, even when you're done with set, even when you're in post-production, the final cut is in the edit. So it goes through drafts sometimes after casting. You know, if you ended up going a different direction for a character, you might have to make some practical changes for that, but just also just, you know, trying to rework it to every actor's individual strengths and weaknesses, trying to, you know, have you help it play to their strengths. So, yeah, the script to me is always kind of organic and fluid until we actually, you know, literally lock picture.
Yeah. So let's talk about your development process. It sounds like your brother, Owen, is involved in it somewhat. Did you also give, once you have a draft that you're happy with, do you also give it to the distributor? Do you have a couple of other close writer friends or director friends that you give it to? What does your development process look like?
I have another writer friend. The distributor usually wants a draft at some point before we take the distributor, obviously. So, yeah, you know, it's all part of the process. For the distributor, it's more of they're making sure it's, you know, got enough action or other things they're looking for, and that it's not too long, which is a big thing today. You know, people don't want anything longer than 85 to 90 minutes. This one, Eminent Hill, was longer. It's 100 minutes runtime.
I see. Huh. Wow. 85, 90 minutes. That's, yeah, yeah. Huh. So then let's talk about getting the notes from some of these people. How do you take these notes? It sounds like the distributor notes would be much more just practical, kind of logistical type things. But just notes, like even from your brother, from some of these other people, how do you take those notes and how do you implement them? Maybe talk about that process a little bit.
I think it's on a case-by-case basis. You know, really, some notes you think are very relevant, other notes you might not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take what you want and you leave the rest. Notes, you know.
Yeah. And how do you approach genre requirements? And I'd be curious too to just get your insight into like what your distributor told you. You're making a Western, and what notes did you get just in terms of genre from the distributor, or even approaching it? I mean, this. It's a revenge, you know, a revenge Western. There's certainly, you know, some other films that you could look at, but maybe talk about that a little bit, just in terms of the genre. What did the distributor expect, and what were you kind of trying to deliver?
Well, the most important thing he wanted was action, which, you know, sometimes Westerns are a little bit slower burn than action movies per se, but he wanted to make sure there was enough action.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically his only concern, really.
Okay. And how much action, when you say enough action, how much is that? I mean, sort of the rule of thumb that I've heard is like for an action movie, you want an action scene every 10 pages. In like a Western like this, that's sort of a Western action, how much action did he want?
Well, I mean, I think it would be less than that because there's other things that could, you know, essentially qualify as action in a Western. I believe something should happen every 5 pages. Whether it's action per se, that might be a little bit much. But again, it's not really an action script. So a good shootout at the end, a good shootout halfway through, and then something, an inciting incident at the beginning, it's, kind of shows us the world that we're in.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so then you're done your script. What were your next steps to actually getting this produced? Did you have financing or at least partial financing lined up with this distributor? And you also mentioned a Kickstarter. Maybe walk us through that process of having the completed script and walking that through the process of actually getting funded.
Well, I had a Kickstarter or Indiegogo. So okay. I had that. I had partial financing from the distributor, and then I also found individual partners as well to supplement the budget so that I had at least enough to get the basics of the film done, at least the shoot done. And, they kind of all work in tandem with each other. I did a little promo video for the crowd fund, show people what kind of a movie I was trying to make. Mm-hmm. I put that out there. I got a pretty good response from that. So that was another thing that really made me excited about the genre. I knew I was on the right track. People really still do love the Western.
And so how much money do you raise on Indiegogo?
I don't know, 10 grand or so.
And then how did you go and actually promote that? What were the methods you used to actually get some attention on that Indiegogo campaign?
Or Facebook is really probably the only effective method.
And what does that mean? Did you buy Facebook ads, or you're talking about just sending out messages to the people that you're friends with on Facebook?
Really just sending out messages. Sending out messages, finding people who had similar interests, people who are into Western movies.
Oh, I see.
And, that was basically it, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about getting the cast on board. You had Barry Corbin, you had Dominic Swain in this movie. I get a lot of emails from writers saying, how can I get this actor or that actor? How did you get these actors involved in the project? Did you hire a casting director? Did you have a past relationship with them that you could lean on? Maybe talk about that process a little bit.
I had a casting director for some of the lower, filling out some of the unknowns. But as far as the name actors go, no, I just basically had to contact them or their management, their representation, make an offer. It's kind of a pretty formal process of how that works. Usually you submit an offer letter based on how many days you think you're going to need them, what you're willing to pay a day, what you're willing to pay for the whole show, and then you more or less have to offer. And hopefully, if you're lucky, they accept your offer, or they counter, and then you agree to the counter, and then you move forward. That's essentially how a process like that works. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you make this initial offer, and you say, okay, we're going to pay you X number of dollars per day, how do you actually come up with that original number? Does your distributor, or maybe you just have enough experience in the business to know, like, sort of roughly what these actors are willing to work with? Obviously, you don't want to offer $10,000 a day if the person is willing to work for $1,000 a day. But how do you come up with that sort of initial amount that you went and offered?
Well, sometimes you'll have an idea what people worked for, but it's very... I don't know how reliable those type of figures are. Usually it comes down to what you actually have budgeted for, like, let's say you're above the line for your casting. What do you have budgeted? And within that, how many names can you squeeze into it? And, how many days can you maybe shave off to make it happen? So it's a heck of a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of, just figuring it out as you go. But, the best thing is to start with what you can really afford and then have an amount, be able to go higher, obviously, because you're probably going to have to. But, and then just meeting somewhere in the middle. I mean, that's just kind of it's like any type of negotiation or, business dealing in that sense. You just pitch it and hopefully you get them excited about the project. If they do like the project, that could be another incentive for them to do that, aside from the money. So, That's always part of it, It's an important part of it.
Sure. So how can people see Eminence Hill? Do you know what the release schedule is going to be like?
Well, it's coming out tonight, actually.
Oh, okay.
The Lumley Music Hall. It'll be playing there for a week.
Oh, nice. And that's where you're driving to L.A. to go to that screening?
Exactly, yes. Okay, and then, and then on the 5th, which is Tuesday, pretty much everywhere. So, DirecTV, Dish, Cox, or cables. Pretty much everybody took it. Apple, of course, Microsoft. I mean, all the usual Google Play, all the usual VOD joints that are all those platforms you should be on.
Sure. So what's the best way for people to keep up with what you're doing? Twitter, Facebook, a blog, anything you're comfortable sharing, I will round up for the show notes.
Yeah, please. Facebook.com/EH for Eminence Hill, EH Western. So that's the best place, because now we're just pushing everything behind Eminence Hill, getting word about that out there. So it's
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'll get that link and I'll put that in the show notes so people can click over to it. Well, Robert, I appreciate your coming on and taking a few minutes out to talk with me. Good luck with this film and good luck with all your future films.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A quick plug for the SYS Screenwriting Analysis Service. It's a really economical way to get a high-quality professional evaluation on your screenplay. When you buy our 3-pack, you get evaluations at just $67 per script for feature films and just $55 for teleplays. All the readers have professional experience reading for studios, production companies, contests, and agencies. You can read a short bio on each reader on our website, and you can pick the reader who you think is the best fit for your script. Turnaround time is usually just a few days, but rarely more than a week. The readers will evaluate your script on 6 key factors: concept, character, structure, marketability, tone, and overall craft, which includes formatting, spelling, and grammar. Every script will get a grade of pass, consider, or recommend, which should help you roughly understand where your script might rank if you were to submit it to a production company or agency. We can provide an analysis on features or television scripts. We also do proofreading without any analysis. We will also look at a treatment or outline and give you the same analysis on it. So if you're looking to vet some of your project ideas, this is a great way to do it. We will also write your logline and synopsis for you. You can add this logline and synopsis writing service to an analysis, or you can simply purchase this service as a standalone product. As a bonus, if your screenplay gets a recommend or a consider from one of our readers, you get to list the screenplay in the SYS Select database, which is a database for producers to find screenplays and a big part of our SYS Select program. Producers are in the database searching for material on a daily basis, so it's another great way to get your material in front of them. As a further bonus, if your script gets a recommend from one of our readers, your screenplay will get included in our monthly Best Of newsletter. Each month, we send out a newsletter that highlights the best screenplays that have come through our script analysis service. This is a monthly newsletter that goes out to our list of over 400 producers who are actively looking for material. So again, this is another great way to get your material out there. So if you want a professional evaluation of your screenplay at a very reasonable price, check out www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/consultants. Again, that's sellingyourscreenplay.com/consultants. On the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Kristen Alexander, who is a real go-getter. She comes on to talk about her film, Alter Rock, and how she put it all together. She is another inspirational writer who just went out there and made things happen for herself. She put the project together without having an agent or manager, without living in Los Angeles, and without knowing a lot of people in the entertainment business. She just smartly networked and used what opportunities she could find to her full advantage. Very candid interview, really talks about how this project came together and what she did to kind of push it down to the finish line. So keep an eye out for that episode next week. That's our show. Thank you for listening.